Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I say that because sometimes I do like to, and all the time, listen to sort of other perspectives that are based on fans who do it a different way. So, like, I hopped in the car this morning, and Shasky was in the process of laying out a scenario. And it wasn't even about trading Steph Curry. It was about going to Steph and sitting him down and explaining that it's time for a youth movement and you got to build this thing back up. And then he goes, you look at Steph and you sit him down and you say, 3 years from now, you can be the sixth man and you can come off of the bench and be a part of something that could be really, really good. And I started to laugh, not at the point he was making, but that was the way it hit my sports sensibilities. The idea that, and I get it, because Shasky, right, it's like immediately, let's jump into how we can rebuild this thing with younger players in a new direction right away. And if that means, like, we already know this, he wanted Draymond gone a year ago, and he's fully willing for Klay to be gone right now. Let's Kuminga this thing. Let's Moody it. Let's Pajemski it. And let's see if we can be good in 3 years. I feel like Steph would not even wait until the end of the conversation if you tried to have that with him. I don't even think he would stay in the room. So, Steph, here's my plan. We're just going to get rid of all the good veterans. We're going to youth this thing up. You got to trust us. We think we could be good, and when we are, you'll be 40 and on the bench.
Right.
Who's with me? I'm thinking not him.
Right.
But I appreciate the perspective of where you're coming from when you feel that way about this Warrior team, which is, yo, bleep it. Turn the page. Rip the Band-Aid off and just blow the whole thing up. I don't see it that way. I don't think the Warriors see it that way. I get it, though. I get it, and I enjoy sort of hearing. I want to hear where Warrior fans are on the whole philosophy.
Right, on what course should you take? Now, for me, I think that you can youth it up and still try to compete for being a good team. I don't think that you're constructed under any circumstance to be a championship team again, short of getting some sort of a miracle signing for a guy who's going to play for no money, like a LeBron James, and you turn Kuminga and Wiggins into Giannis, and so now you've got Klay and Draymond and Steph and LeBron and Giannis. Okay, then maybe you could be a championship team next year, but none of that's going to happen. There's nothing realistic that you can do between now and the end of 2 years, I think. It's a long shot to find a way to get good. You don't have a first-round pick this year unless you happen to win the lottery. I think you're in a tight spot. So which course would I chart? I don't love Draymond Green. I've had it with Draymond Green. But I also realize that you're probably not going to be able to trade Draymond Green and get much back because there's only four or five teams that Draymond would be even open to going to. And none of those teams is going to give you a good player back. So to your point about the Ayuk trade scenario, you're not going to get better. So is Steph going to really be thrilled about losing his right-hand man for a $25 million a year guy who's not very good?
What did he say to Draymond right after the loss on Tuesday night last week? What did he say to Draymond?
He said, we're still doing this.
We ain't done.
Right.
That's how Steph feels.
Now, Clay's interesting. because there's a number where Clay can come back and you can still maybe add somebody on the mid-level, and you could maybe get a tiny bit incrementally better. You could trade Wiggins for something somewhat useful, and then you could maybe get a little bit better, but still you're not going to get a better enough, in my opinion, to be better than that Denver team we saw last night. Oh, baby.
Good article by John Hollinger in The Athletic about this, and it helps shape something for me a little bit, because I think everybody, if you're a Warrior fan, you get it. We've been talking about it. You've been thinking about it. The money is an issue. The money is an issue. Sure, that's all true. I think we overstate it, overrate it, because it's not our money. I don't care what they pay Clay. I'm even open to Clay not being on the team. But whenever we say this stuff, there's two things that I think are important here. Number one, people talk about, well, trade Draymond and trade Wiggins. Let Clay walk. Okay, in favor of what? We never complete the sentence.
Yeah.
What is it you are trying? I'm not here to tell you, you got to keep Clay. What I'm here to ask is, what do you want to do with that money if not Clay? What do you want to do with that money if not Clay? Or and then repeat that question with all of this. Trade Wiggins for who? Trade Draymond for who? What is it you want to fill out the roster with? And then ask yourself this question. Forget whether those people you get, whether it's Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins, or replacements, forget how good they can make the Warriors next year. And instead, simply think about, what's their contract? I'm going back to something Ramona said to us 2 weeks ago. The Golden State Warriors do not have any albatross contracts. We know they want to get under the second apron. So here's the deal. This is an unaggressive but opportunistic offseason for the Warriors, and it might be the exact same next year. So this may sound boring, but my thought is that in the absence of any great things that you can do with these people, and you can't, get a great player for Andrew, Draymond, you let Clay walk, okay, you're spending that on someone else that's only a $22 million player,
right,
which is fine, but you can't do a whole lot. So you may simply, I know we go, oh, it's a big offseason. It might be the most boring offseason of all time. I am prepared for the Warriors to go into the offseason, let Chris Paul go, sign a new backup point guard, and re-sign Klay Thompson. And that's it. And that sounds boring and ineffective, and you're right. And they won't be good next year.
You'll be the 10 seed
they'll
again.
Be, yeah,
if
they'll
you're
be,
lucky.
They'll be fine.
The West is better than you are going to be next year.
It well could be. And so you could be a 40-win team. You could be a 50-win team. Somewhere in between, we'll see. That's one possibility. What's more important, I think, to the Warriors right now is maintaining their flexibility. Keeping those contracts. In other words, trade Wiggins. Are you getting a 5-year deal in return? Are you getting a 1-year deal in return?
Right. That would be the kind of flexibility that you'd be looking to get.
Keep the flexibility, because what I think the only way that there is any sort of a quick fix for the Warriors is that they remain prepared for whenever and whoever that dude is who becomes available. Because they've got a truck full of future first-round draft picks and a few young pieces that would be very attractive when said star becomes disgruntled or falls out of favor. They have to be ready to acquire that guy. So you can't mess that flexibility up by trying to go from the 10 seed to the 7 seed next year.
And that's why you can't be in on Karl-Anthony Towns, because his contract is massive.
Well, no, but he'd be that dude.
Yes,
he'd be that dude.
Yeah, but I don't think that you would want to part with your assets at this point, certainly. And you would
if you think you can get that dude.
Yeah, I don't think that he's that dude.
And that's fine.
For the price, he's going to be making more than Steph, and his contract is long, like you're talking about.
Fair opinion.
I'd be more interested in a Wiggins and Moody for Markkanen, even if I had to part with a first-round pick in that deal. Because Wiggins, his contract's not huge, but it's still 3 years. And the idea of three more years of that is something that I'd rather not sign up for. I would rather get Lauri Markkanen for a year, bring him in, and see if it works. A seven-footer. And you get to the deadline next year, and if things aren't popping off, then at that point you can maybe make a move and you could do something different.
I don't hate that either, but I just think, like, I'm starting to let my mind stop the whole, like, who's the player, and start thinking, what's the contract? Because I think that that's really key for a team that's trying to save money, trying to get under the apron, trying to not spend $400 million on a non-playoff team, but even more importantly, stay flexible, be ready. Does Joel Embiid get ticked? Or whatever. Does Giannis get ticked? And each one of those is probably not going to happen. But it's what the Lakers did for a few years, and then Anthony Davis was like, I want to be a Laker. And then they went, okay, now we're ready, and we've got the assets to do this.
And that's ultimately how they got Kevin Durant, is because they had that flexibility, right?
Right, but that was free agent dollars.
Right, but it was still to what you're talking about, flexibility.
Yes, but this would be more like the Warriors, more so than I think their fans give them credit for, are in a position to make a good offer for a star when said star, Dame Lillard, is like, I'm ready to get out of here. When that happens, the Warriors can be involved. But if they're running the rat race because they're trying to placate their fans to be like really good next year, and I think that there is that possibility. I don't know who's going to become disgruntled,
right?
Who's going to get knocked out in the first round that wasn't supposed to. I don't know any of those things yet. So it's possible, but if it's not there, don't go for it, and be willing to, unfortunately, be surprisingly boring this offseason.
And especially if you can do that while being below the second apron and maybe being under the tax or at the tax. That way, your penalties reset as well. And even if it's a year again of chasing the 10 seed, you would be poised at the end of next year, going into Steph's last year, to maybe make one more swing at it.
Like, I think Wiggins, we've all decided Wiggins is getting traded this offseason. Probably. But maybe not till the deadline next year.
Right.
Maybe then. Huh. Try to let him build up some value.
That's hilarious. 5 of 12, 4 rebounds. Well, go ahead and book it for the opener.
No, instead we booked Doc Pandya.
Strong.
Cleared to play coming up next. Alex Cobb and some of the NBA injuries. We'll get into all of that. And David Lombardi on the Ayuk situation, week of the draft. 49ers stuff being discussed. We'll get back to that. Lombardi joins us in a half hour. And your calls next, 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dips.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This a great question.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It is a great question, except for we didn't ask it a few minutes ago. We got so hot and heavy that Doc was kind enough to hang out until we were ready to chat with him. And now we are. Time for Clear to Play, where we take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya, on Willard and Dibs yet again. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. Who doesn't play basketball tonight?
That's too soon.
Sorry
about that. You know who doesn't pitch tonight? Alex Cobb. Not anytime soon either. Everything in the offseason said trending in a better than expected form, and he's going to be back. And then he felt a little something, and now he's on the 60-day DL. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things, I think what kind of set this all off was that he was having some hip flexor tightness. I think that was the initial report. And it's very common after hip surgery that can happen. The hip flexor really helps to stabilize the hip. And if you have a little weakness, that can happen. It sounds like with that hip flexor tightness, then suddenly came shoulder and elbow issues as well, too. You know, your hip flexor's off. You start kind of throwing your, changing your mechanics a little bit. So it sounds like they're being more cautious. I think anytime you have an older pitcher, you start getting that kind of soreness, you know, a little bit of kind of change in your mechanics can lead that to kind of come on. So I think it's a safe thing. They're trying to make sure that he's not going to get a bigger injury. Now it seems like he'll just be back at the time that everyone expected him to be back, which was kind of in May. So obviously there was a little bit of hope for an early return, but I think it's better to be safe, particularly with an older pitcher who could be integral to your rotation later on in the year.
It's a good breakdown, and good news for Keaton Wynn, our guest from earlier. Looks like he's going to get some more starts before he might get squeezed out. Well, all the talk around the playoffs in the NBA, Doc, is all these injuries, including Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is doubtful for Game 2 with that calf injury. How concerned should Bucks fans be about the Greek Freak?
I think they should be pretty concerned. I mean, I think as we saw with Durant a couple of years ago, like anytime you have a calf and kind of an explosive player, you do worry, is there going to be potentially be an Achilles injury or something that's a little bit more serious? And particularly the way he plays, it's very explosive. He's a big guy, a lot of force across that calf muscle. So the fact that already it sounds like he's going to be out for Game 2, he hasn't really been seen doing much explosive activity. I think you're obviously concerned, and really then the decision comes down to, do the Bucks feel if they are a viable contender, and is it worth them taking the risk of him playing with a potentially compromised calf? And what does that mean potentially for a more longer-term injury? So I think it's going to be some tough decisions for the Bucks. Hopefully the outcome of the game may impact how quickly he comes back. But anytime a player that big has a calf injury, you worry about it spreading down to the Achilles and becoming something more major.
Doc, the most recent stuff everyone's talking about with Joel Embiid is his eye. But I don't know if his knee is all the way back. What do you see when you watch him play?
I definitely see some issues with the knee. I mean, you see him kind of starting pretty well, and then he'll have an awkward landing or tries to do an alley-oop off the backboard. He'll land, you know, kind of awkwardly in that knee. I think it really does show that when people have a meniscus injury and they get, quote-unquote, the meniscus shaving, obviously the degree or amount of meniscus it's taken out and also your size really impacts how you play. So, yes, you can be back playing 4 to 6 weeks later to be out in the court, but there's a tremendous amount of force across that knee. So someone that big constantly pounding on the knee's going to get irritated, even though there may not be a structural issue going on. So even though you're quote unquote cleared, it could be hard to kind of produce for quarter three, quarter four. So obviously I'm concerned. He looks like he's banged up. He's clearly amazing, the fact that he can still produce points, but you do worry this game goes game five, game six, game seven. Is he going to be able to hold off? And then what does it mean for the next round if they make it? Although the Knicks look pretty good right now.
Yeah, just a gutsy performance last night and a thriller of a playoff game. Looks like Kawhi probably not going to play. He's listed as questionable with right knee inflammation. And you know, Doc, it's an inflammation sensation for Kawhi Leonard. I'll pay the dollar. How serious is this that Kawhi Leonard continues to be unavailable for the Clips?
You know, I think it's really a reflection of all the issues he's had with that knee. Obviously, he had the ACL surgery on that, then he had the meniscus injury on that. So anytime you're getting inflammation in the context of having multiple prior injuries and you're older, you worry about, is this something that's going to continue to flare up? Is there some degree of degeneration in the knee? So absolutely, it's a concern. Is he going to have a good three games and then it's going to get irritated again? And I think we're so conditioned to think, you get an ACL surgery, you should be absolutely back. It's still a devastating injury. It causes cartilage damage. And as you get older, this is what happens coming off this surgery. So obviously a point of concern, and Kawhi's kind of had this off and on. kind of roller coaster with his knees over the years. I think this is a reflection of how bad his knee actually is and kind of what does it mean for him long term.
Crazy, Doc. Crazy that you joined us a week when the Warriors are fully healthy.
No one on the injury report. Everyone's ready to go.
There you go. Don't get that often, but here we are. Doc, thank you as always.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right, there he is. Doc Pandy, and the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. I worry about that man.
Why?
Because he builds his entire weeks around those Warriors games.
Yeah.
And there aren't any right now.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that he's in on the Giants, though. I saw one of his social posts that he was either out there or he had mentioned that someone was playing baseball. I think he's trying to assimilate into another sport.
He's trying. That's what people say when they enter Oracle Park. We're trying.
Well, think about every 49er fan where after the Super Bowl, we spent a week or 2 weeks on this very station fielding the same phone call of, if Kyle only knew the overtime rules and who cares about the third possession and, who's that guy who didn't block and Ayuk was open and Brock missed throws and what if Greenlaw didn't tear his Achilles running onto the field and the kicker, he missed a PAT, he's got to go. And then after those 2 weeks, it was like people didn't want to talk about anything. And still 49er fans, that one is one that you may never get over.
Oh, 95.7 The Game, breaking news.
I have some NBA breaking news, and it has to do with an injury that we were just talking about with Doc Pandya.
Yes.
From Jared Greenberg on NBA TV, the belief within the building from speaking with multiple people, Kawhi Leonard will make his 2022 debut tonight, playoff debut tonight in Game 2.
All right, there you have it. It's very exciting, Lucas.
Yeah. Whoa. Looks like they got that inflammation under control.
Yeah, that's great. I'll believe it when I see it. Kawhi Leonard doesn't play basketball anymore.
Yeah.
That sounded like an April Fool's joke. But there you have it. Kawhi is back, although they looked phenomenal without him the other day.
They sure did.
Yeah, I know a lot of people had the campy little pick of the Dallas Mavericks going to the finals, which is, it's only been one game. But without Kawhi in there, they got boat raced.
Yeah, the Clippers were my pick back in February.
Yes.
I never really doubled down on it.
Are they still?
Sure.
Yeah, the Thunder were my pick, and that's going to be wrong too. But
in the interest of not picking Denver.
Exactly.
Denver and Boston, Denver versus Boston or the field. You have to think about it because Boston sure looks to be dominant in the East and Denver looks to be the best in the West. So the likelihood of Denver versus Boston is greater than any other matchup, but you probably would take the field hoping for just one other team, non-Denver or non-Boston, to make it.
I don't know right now that I would. Just
take the field.
Based on the week of playoff basketball that I've now watched.
Small sample size, Steve, as you call it.
Very small sample size, though. The Nuggets are up 2-0. That's like the Nuggets are going to move on. The Lakers are not going to win 4 out of 5 from the Denver Nuggets. But, just also looking at the way it's all sort of falling, I think there's a couple things out there that grab your attention. The OKC Thunder are the one seed. It's only been one game, but they looked exactly like you might fear that they were going to look. They looked young. They looked inexperienced. The East, who's going to challenge Boston? It feels like people are getting hurt right and left. Embiid, Giannis, Butler, all of that. It just feels right now, long, long way to go, but it feels like things are setting up that way. And I'm having a hard time picking the team in either conference that's going to beat either one of those squads.
Right. And it's a long way to go, and crazy things can happen, as we saw with the Warriors and the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals so many years ago, where the Warriors lost not one but two star players. And Toronto was a handful anyway. You never know if they would have still won the series. I don't think so. So you get all the way through 16 wins. It's a hard thing to do over 2 months in the NBA playoffs. But I did say months ago that the Clippers were my pick, so I'll stick with it just for the sake of conversation here on the radio. I'm not betting it.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a lot cooler if I did and they won.
It ain't happening, but yeah.
It sure looked good in game one.
Stick with it.
The beard was getting loose and Westbrook diving to the rim.
Come on.
Zubats.
Harden and Westbrook in the finals.
It's happened before.
Gag.
Yeah, it's happened.
It has, with Kevin Durant on the team and a lot more youth.
I'll tell you, they look better than Phoenix does. That thing, watching Phoenix.
It didn't work.
They play hate ball.
What does that mean?
That means, I hate you, I'm not throwing it to you. No, they play like, they take turns.
Yeah.
This is Booker's turn to try and score. And now it's KD's turn to try to score. And, oh, here comes Bradley Beal. Let me get the ball. Let me try and score. It's called hate ball. They hate each other.
Well, I wonder what KD would privately say about it, because it is very, it's very much the opposite of what made things work when he was here. Sure, they had all the good players and they were all in their prime. So I understand that was the main reason. But also, they're all very, very intuitive and smart with the way they played basketball. And just because you have great players doesn't mean you're going to get great shots. But if you have players like that and you're unselfish and the ball is moving the way that it did with the Warriors back then, you're going to have unbelievable results. The Suns are the opposite. And they are the head-scratcher team of the year, for sure, even more so than the Warriors, in my opinion. I know they snuck in to the sixth seed with a one-point win in Sacramento over the final weekend and a Pelicans loss against the Lakers at home. But by the same token, it didn't work. I look at the Suns very much like I look at the Warriors, which is their front office at some point probably 2 months ago went, this ain't it. This ain't it. The only difference there is they're going to have to recalibrate on the fly because their number one, if you will, their star player is still very, very young. And you would think that he's going to have some options as far as how to fit things around him so that they can get better, because they have been good. They've been good for a number of years now, just not quite good enough.
Not quite good enough. And you look around the West and it feels like it's Denver's party and everyone's chasing Denver. So how do you get good enough to compete with them? Well, you got Nurkic to take on Jokic. See how that works out for you.
Probably not well. let's go to Paulie in the city here with Willard and Dibs. Hey, Paulie, what are you doing?
Hi. I wanted to call because to answer a question that you asked about things that the Warriors could possibly do. And, you know, I was thinking there are some moves we could make. For example,
Paulie, did we lose you?
Paulie, did we lose you?
That was a weird one. Like, it sounds like he's still there.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Well, I'm sure he's still there, but his phone is not.
Oh, I don't think he passed away or anything like that. Yeah, I'm sure he's still there.
I mean, he might have fallen into a manhole. That's like an old, like, vaudeville. And here I am, an old guy again.
Oh, God.
They leave that manhole open in the street, and you're just walking around, and shoop!
Did you just reference vaudeville?
I sure did, yeah.
Oh, God, this show's getting older by the second.
You're coming up on a big number. I deserve that one.
I used every fiber in my being not to make a big deal of the fact that Pearl Jam released an album last week, the same night that Taylor Swift did. I'm trying not to make a big deal out of it because, you know, what do you got? 49-year-old white guy talking about Pearl Jam and Taylor Swift. That's not going to go anywhere good.
How do you like it?
It just isn't.
It's good?
It's phenomenal.
Okay, good.
It's absolutely fantastic.
I'm glad you like it. How's the Pearl Jam? Thank you. I'll be here all week. A few more days.
Actually, the only thing I've heard about the Taylor Swift album is that she's got one song where she really takes aim at Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
Like a diss track.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Has anybody heard this? Grandy, I know you've listened to it a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Every night. Yeah.
Lucas? Every night. No one's got any info on this?
Is Travis featured on it?
The lovely Christy, who has two teen daughters, has explained to me that there is a Kim Kardashian and does not hold back diss track on the new Taylor album. And then there's also one about Travis.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, mushy-gushy, I'm sure.
You know.
Sure.
Love you, 87.
You're my favorite tight end. A
lot of different things rhyme with touchdown.
Oh.
I'm just going to say that.
All right.
Yeah. So, anyway. But, yeah. Great album.
Yeah.
It's really good. I didn't really connect that much with number two. But outside of that, it's really good.
Track number two?
Yeah, track.
Okay. I didn't know yet. I didn't know if you were talking about the second album. Because, yeah, you liked the second album that they had.
Yes.
But anyway.
All right. Anyway.
So you want to trade Steph Curry, I hear.
Yeah, exactly. No, so in fact, and I think even before Paulie fell in that manhole, he was going to suggest a signing that is going to potentially yeah, you could look at, this is what I mean. You're going to have some signings out there or some ideas where you're like, yeah, that'd be good. That would make sense. It's going to do a sum total of nothing. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to make the Warriors become a top four seed. That's not what's out there. So I'm prepping myself for this offseason to not be as crazy as we've sort of coached ourselves to think that it's going to be. It is a huge offseason because we think it's going to be like philosophical. We think there's going to be a shift. You got to declare, are you for the big three or are you against them? And the feeling is they're going to be for the big three because they said as much, and then they'll go do it and they'll gussy the fan base up with some other little moves around it and go, that's right, Kuminga's going to take a big step and Moody's going to get his role. And we think we can contend because last year, 46 wins, we're right there. Draymond doesn't get suspended.
Right.
Could have, and
blah,
they'll do
blah, blah.
Well, has anyone else noticed this with the Warriors the last couple of years?
I haven't heard it from Joe Lacob.
They tell you all year that they're contending for a championship until they're not. And they're like, yeah, that wasn't going to be a championship. So, like, I'm ready for that now. You know? But stay flexible. Stay ready. And I think that's the game they're playing. If and when said big name becomes available, Warriors will be on the phone. Until then, let's save some money.
Well, you can't do anything till the end of June anyway. Until you get like June 24th or whatever is the Chris Paul deadline, and June 30th. So
let's see who's upset.
Well, exactly. So between now and then, you're scoreboard watching, and I wonder if we asked Steve Kerr if we had a chance to talk to him again as he puts his feet in the ocean down there in San Diego, if he is still scoreboard watching, and if the organization is like, all right, if we can get Minnesota out, maybe the Cat becomes unhappy and he springs free, and Milwaukee, if Milwaukee can slide, and they beat Indiana, and Giannis is hurt but not hurt enough for now, if he could be hurt but not really hurt and then be disgruntled, maybe he would want to go somewhere else. And if we get LeBron away from LA, maybe we could find a way to get him in here.
I don't think it's going to feel like that. I don't think they're doing the if, but they're monitoring all, because that's what all NBA teams do.
Of course. So you're rooting against the Clippers because Paul George.
Well, I guess. I mean, Paul's going to be expensive.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, that's
anyway.
A free agent. I don't think that free agency is going to be the way that this can work for the Warriors this year. I think that they're monitoring all, and if the right thing and when the right thing becomes available, the Warriors will be ready to make a phone call and a very, very substantial offer and try to pounce. But outside of that, I've reached a point where I believe them. They would like to be below the second apron, and I believe them. And I think they will be if said big-time star does not get mad and become available.
Yeah, and so I think that I don't think a big-time star will become available. So then you look at your plan B, which for me, plan B is not bring everybody back and hope that some guys get better, because I saw Joe Lacob's face when you got run out of Golden 1 and the beam got lit before he was even at the exit. I don't think that Joe Lacob is going to look at this situation and say, yeah, we're going to bring everyone back. We're going to get Clay at a workable number. We'll be below the second apron. We'll hope Andrew decides to try more frequently and that Draymond doesn't get thrown out and all the rest of it. I think that no matter what, they're going to make at least one big move in the offseason.
Well,
and I think it's going to be a Wiggins and Moody trade. I can't see Wiggins still being on the team, and Moody to me feels like a guy you'd naturally throw in.
I think you're translating the angry look on Joe's face maybe to be something that it's not. I don't think it's just this hell-bent on winning thing. I think it's, we missed the playoffs for $400 million.
Yeah.
It's not just we missed the playoffs, so I'm mad. We missed the playoffs, and it cost me $400 million. So I don't think that look on his face is nearly as angry if this exact same team misses the playoffs for a lot less than $400 million. Because
so you and I disagree.
Yeah,
there.
The moves may not be available. I'm telling you right now, and the Warriors told you as well. Like, option A, The only things that you can really count on this year in the offseason, you're going to let Chris Paul go, and you're going to try to keep Klay Thompson. Anything else is a maybe at best. Like trading Andrew Wiggins to who? For what? Like
to anyone for anything.
Well, and but first of all, I don't think they view it that way.
I'm being a little bit cynical.
Right, but why? Like, why for just anything? And it's not. I understand the frustration with Andrew, but it's not to the level of like just get him off.
It's not to the level of James Wiseman.
Get him off my team right
now.
You
got 5 second round picks for James Wiseman.
Yeah,
this is not quite that. You're not going to take 5 seconds for Wiggins, but you would rather get a player in here who is more consistent and I think more productive for your team than Andrew Wiggins. And there might be a guy out there who you could find, a team who's looking to get rid of. Maybe it's a guy who's on a 1 year deal.
No, I'm with you, but that's a might. That's a might.
Oh, for sure.
Like the only thing that I feel confident, and I might be wrong, but I feel confident that the Warriors are going to do, let Chris go and try to keep Klay.
Yeah, try.
Yeah.
I mean, let Chris go is 100%.
But they're going to make him an offer. There's not going to be we talked to Klay and we never even gave him an offer. They're going to make him an offer. They're absolutely going to make him an offer.
They already made him an offer, right? And he turned it down.
They're going to make it again.
And I wonder if the offer they make again is lower than the offer they previously made.
I think that the offer will actually probably be a touch higher, provided that there isn't somewhere else for that money to go. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, they're going to make it sound like it's option A, but it's because they know it's probably the only option that's available to them. But believe you me, if Karl Anthony Towns or Lauri Markkanen become available, I believe absolutely that the Warriors will let Klay walk. I absolutely believe that. If they feel like they can upgrade right now in some sort of a trade. But if that's not there, and it probably won't be, then say out loud, yeah, we're gonna do everything we can to try to bring Klay back.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to trade for Karl Anthony Towns, you'd have to trade Wiggins, Kuminga, and Moody just to get the money even close to that much.
No, the draft picks is what it's likely going to be all about.
Right, but you need to match salary.
Not necessarily. Not with draft picks have a value.
Right, but
I don't think Andrew Wiggins is getting traded to Minnesota.
Yeah, that'd be a long shot.
That'd be weird.
Yeah. Well, it'd be weird if any team reached out and said, yeah, let me get that player. Let me get that guy who's shown a significant regression in his game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's questionable as to how much he actually wants to be out there and compete.
Right. But you have to remember that if these players are going to go, it's because they're telling their team that they've got to go. Like, Portland traded Damian Lillard. What'd they get? Exactly.
I can't remember.
Exactly. You get nothing for these people when this happens.
Malcolm Brogdon?
But you get my point. Like Robert
Williams?
Yeah. You call that a return for Damian Lillard?
You just asked about who they got.
I know, but okay. So, Grandy, you've got like, sure, you studied it. That's not the point.
Talk to me in 2030.
The point is that you're not, it's not going to match. When a star goes, it doesn't match.
This isn't a star.
You get
Andrew Wiggins.
No, I'm talking about who would be coming.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about if Embiid or if Giannis or Towns or somebody like that wants out, you're not going to get the return that you want at all. You want assets. They need to either be young or draft picks. And all I'm telling you is that every conversation I have with the people who do this for a living, they're like, the Warriors have the package. They have the package that would be attractive to a team that's got to reboot. It's how Oklahoma City did it.
Right.
It's the opposite of F them picks. Bring me them picks over and over again. All right. David Lombardi next. Your phone call's coming up as well. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises, Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mission to his side.
I'm not going to get in all those details. We're really focused on BA being part of us. He's under contract, and we're looking forward to that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it feels different. There's no two ways about it. There's Debo, there's Bosa, now there's Ayuk, and this feels different. I still think that it's likelier than not that he stays, but this one feels like there's some up in the air to it all as we approach the draft. But opportunity to check in with someone who knows a little bit more about it than we do.
You think?
That's for sure. First off, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs in the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. While you're there, do it for our other shows as well. Morning Roast, Steiny and Goo. The Roast this morning got into the idea of the Warriors trading Steph Curry. Talked to Scott Osler about it, so you can check that out for sure. David Lombardi, The Athletic, all over the 49ers. Been a minute since we've been able to check in, but today is the day. Hey, David, how we doing?
Great. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Put a number on it. What are the chances Brandon Ayuk is still on the team when we go to bed Thursday night?
I think it has to be over 80%. It's a matter of value for the 49ers right now. And they never closed the door on this. The only time they've ever closed the door on a trade possibility in one of these situations was with Bosa last year. At the very start of it, they said he's untouchable. And John Lynch went out of his way to say that Bosa's untouchable. He never went out of his way to say that Debo's untouchable. Brandon Ayuk is untouchable, so they've obviously been fielding interest, but you just have to look at what is the value play for the 49ers moving forward. And this is one of the best receivers in football that is fresh off of leading the number one offense in the NFL in receiving production, and it's a team that's trying to get better now to win a Super Bowl. And they have him under contract too for this next season. But without a new deal, he's already under contract. So you think about that dynamic moving forward. The 49ers obviously want to get better. They at least want to stay the same. How would that happen without Brandon Ayuk on the team? The only way that could potentially happen, and I say potential because it wouldn't be surefire, would be if you picked up a massive haul in return for Brandon Ayuk, something in the draft this week that would allow you to significantly improve a position that is lacking right now. So say offensive line, or I don't even know if cornerback is that lacking anymore after what they did in free agency. So the chances that the 49ers are moved off of their position, I don't think are that big, but they do exist. And deadline pressure, such as the draft, which is an inflection point, can get a desperate team or an overzealous team to offer something that the 49ers might like. So I think that's why John Lynch answered the way that he did yesterday. Somebody asked the same question to John Lynch. Is there a chance that Brandon Ayuk is not on the roster at the end of Thursday? And he said, I wouldn't anticipate that. I'll say the same thing. I wouldn't anticipate that, but I won't give you a hard no, because the only time that we've been given a hard no in situations like this is with Nick Bosa last season.
Is part of what could motivate the move the thought that the two sides are far apart on what that contract might entail for Brandon Ayuk?
I mean, that's at the heart of it, right? That's right now, Brandon Ayuk is probably, his camp is coming in with a certain number, and the 49ers have a certain number in mind. The 49ers' numbers might have gotten stricter and stricter over the years because they're paying more and more star players, and also they have the Brock Purdy contract looming next year, so they have to make sure that they're very disciplined with where they come in. And Brandon Ayuk, based on how good he's been, especially this past season, has every right to ask for a lot of money. There's a reason why all of these deals, George Kittle in 2020, Fred Warner in 2021, Debo Samuel in 2022, and Nick Bosa in 2023, all of these deals have taken at least until late July to get hammered out. And right now we're in what? We're in April right now. So we're still 3 months away from the average time when a contract like this gets done. And it's because negotiations typically start with the player and the team far apart. And it takes that summer and the deadline pressure of the looming season to get the job done. Now, in this case, John Lynch has indicated that the 49ers might have a little less patience for this stretching into training camp because they don't like what the Bosa and what the Samuel negotiations did to both of those players' seasons, or at least the start of their seasons. They thought that those guys were slow out of the gate. They thought that, okay, maybe we're better off if this wraps up sooner. So that could add a little bit more value to the 49ers trying to get this resolved sooner this time around.
David Lombardi, The Athletic, with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. You mentioned earlier in that answer about the Brock Purdy contract looming. What kind of an effect does that have on everything right now that's contractual related to all the players?
Well, the salary cap is like a sink, and you're constantly filling the sink with water, and that's the new expenditures that you pour into your team, and then there's a drain at the bottom of the sink that is letting some water go. That's players that you cut, contracts that expire, so on and so forth. When the sink overflows, that means that you have no choice but to cut players, kind of scrap your roster. We've actually seen teams hit that kind of problem, which we like to call cap hell. The Rams hit that. The Saints have hit that. I think the Dolphins have hit it a little bit too. So the 49ers are actively trying to drain enough from the sink while they continue pouring new water in to avoid cap hell. And so far, they've kind of surfed that wave, to use another water analogy. They've surfed the wave really effectively. But the biggest deposit into the sink, the biggest pour of water from the faucet yet, is projected to be the Brock Purdy contract. So you've got to make sure that you're shuffling everything correctly. And some of it is, you know, every season is a new sink, right? So, and you could drain water from a previous season and move that water into another season. That's what restructuring contract does. That's what signing bonuses do, because you can amortize them. So it's all complicated. I like to call it financial Tetris. But all you need to know from a larger picture standpoint is that there's going to be a tremendous amount of money, a tremendous amount of water pouring into the sink if Brock Purdy signs a new contract. And because of that, you better have all of the deck chairs straightened out before that time comes. So that's why they want to negotiate the best possible deal with Brandon Ayuk.
And I love the sink analogy, by the way. You've used it before, and I want to thank you for that, because it's a perfect way to envision it in your mind. But it made me think about where Debo is in the sink. If you sign Brandon Ayuk, does he get closer to the drain than ever before?
Well, they built a real out in Debo Samuel's contract that's relatively financially efficient after this next season. So I don't think this is anything that they've decided right now. I think right now it's not financially efficient to let go of Debo Samuel. So they're in a position where he's almost certainly going to be on the team next year. But you can revisit this in 2024. And that's the thing. You can't make 2024's or 2025. We're already in 2024. Time flies. You can't make 2025's decisions in 2024. That's like making a play call for midway through the fourth quarter when you're in the second quarter. You don't know what the game situation is going to be. You don't know if it's going to be second and six or third and one or fourth and eight. Like, I mean, you just don't have that information yet. So this next season is going to give the 49ers a whole heck of a lot of information. I would even say that they don't have the full information on Brandon Ayuk yet for what they might do this weekend, because they don't know what those trade offers are going to be. They don't know if somebody's going to try to sweeten the pot to try to move him off their current position, which is obviously to keep Brandon Ayuk around.
David, I think I know the answer to this. I'd love to hear how you answer it, though. We spend so much time talking about whether or not the 49ers want to keep Ayuk. What do you know about Ayuk's desires to stay with the 49ers?
He wants to stay with the 49ers. He's clearly said it on a podcast a couple weeks ago. He was on with, is Chad Johnson's last name Ocho Cinco or Johnson? I'm not sure if he reverted back. So it's both. So Chad Ocho Cinco Johnson had Brandon Ayuk on a podcast, and Brandon Ayuk said that, "I hope that professionals on both sides can work out a deal." So he said that means that he wants to stay with the 49ers. He hopes that a deal is worked out, but there's an asterisk there. He obviously wants a deal at a certain price.
Well. So I think the nature of the question is have you seen anything in the last couple of years that would suggest that Brandon Ayuk wants to be on a team that throws the ball more, for example?
I think that, I mean, that's always, I know where you're coming from with this question, because I think there was some frustration that people sensed with his target share coming out of the Super Bowl. But I think at the end of the day, I still remember how emotional Brandon Ayuk got the 2 days after that Super Bowl at his locker, when he was talking about what he'll remember about the 2023 team, and he said just going to work with his brothers, fighting for that common goal. I think at the end of the day, he is a team player at the core. And the way that he blocks on the field is a really, really good example of that. I still remember the double block, I called it, on that McCaffrey 65-yard touchdown run in Pittsburgh, where he chip blocked the defensive end, Alex Highsmith, before he took out DeMonte Casey 15 yards downfield. I mean, he executed that in a way that probably, I mean, you might be able to say no other receiver in football would have been able to execute that double block as well as he did. Anyway, that kind of stuff is all over his tape. And, you know, just getting to know him and getting to know some of the answers, getting to know that situation that I just told you about, when he did get emotional over what the 49ers did collectively, I think winning is ultimately what makes Brandon Ayuk tick out on the football field. I think that he really is a guy that likes that. In the off season, right now, I mean, you've got to negotiate for every dollar. I think it's your responsibility. You got to go out and support your family and get paid your worth. And I think both of those things are going on. But I don't see him as being a guy that would leave just because his target share would be a little bit bigger elsewhere. I think that ultimately he enjoys being part of an efficient offense. He enjoys winning, and he's got to take care of his business off the field now.
We're talking to David Lombardi, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
David, how motivated are the Niners to get this deal done before the likely fifth-year option extension avoidance of Lamb and Jefferson? Won't those reset the market and make Ayuk's number higher if he goes after them?
Not necessarily. They'll reset the market. Yes, I would think that Justin Jefferson's would. But I would argue, and I'm sure Brandon Ayuk's agent Ryan Williams is arguing this right now, that Ayuk has a chance to reset the market himself. He doesn't have to wait for those guys. I mean, you look at just how damn good he was last year. He dominated in every single efficiency stat when you compare it to the other guys that are up for a contract. They just didn't throw to him at quite the volume of the other ones, but yards per catch, like 18 yards per catch. The yards per route run was off the chart. The only player that had better in that category was Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, Ayuk was sensationally good. I put up this graph several times online where they plot on an XY axis his receiving grade and then his yak grade, and he's a complete outlier. He's all the way up there in the upper right. So I think that Brandon Ayuk has made quite the case that he's one of the elite guys in football, deserves to be paid as such, and Now it's a matter of, okay, well, the 49ers have a certain budget. They have a certain, you know, they have to look at this in the bigger picture. Can they find commonality with Brandon Ayuk in that budget? Or if they can't, are they going to decide to play a level of hardball? And the level of hardball relies on the fact that they still have contractual control here. They don't have to pay him. They could say, hey, you can play on the fifth-year option, and obviously Ayuk can hold out, but then he wouldn't get paid in that situation.
I'd like to follow up on your comment that maybe even Ayuk could reset the market and just find out exactly what you mean by that. You don't mean he's going potentially north of $30 million a year, do you?
The $30 million number, that's funny money. That
right.
doesn't mean anything.
So are you talking guarantee then?
Yeah. So okay. Fully guaranteed money would be something that to keep an eye for. But Tyreek Hill, his agent negotiated some ridiculous non-guaranteed numbers, like $43 million yep. for the final season just to get up to 30. So nobody really cares about that. Oh, maybe there may be some guys care about the vanity number. I get it. But as far as agents, the number that you need to look at is fully guaranteed money, not injury guaranteed money, fully guaranteed money. Tyreek Hill's got $52.7 million or $52.5 million of fully guaranteed money. And I think Ayuk has missed one game since his rookie year. I think that he has every right to ask for more than $50 million in fully guaranteed money. 49ers have every right to take exception to that because they might not be able to fit that into their realistic budget. And if he's going to stay with the 49ers happy for a long time, then they're going to have to find acceptable middle ground and agree to that.
And that is probably where the sticking point lies, because if you've got Deebo Samuel already under contract for roughly 24, and if Brandon wants a big guarantee at that level, that's when you get back to your sink, David, and maybe there becomes too much water for them to have both guys for beyond next year.
But that's also where being a cash-rich team benefits the 49ers, because it's the salary cap is set up so that if you pay stuff in big bonuses, that bonus is actually spread out over 5 years against the salary cap. So to get to $50 million fully guaranteed, they usually divvy it up into a couple bonuses. They had three separate ones for Nick Bosa. That kind of staggers the cap it even more. But just to simplify things, say that you gave a guy a $50 million signing bonus. I'm not saying they're going to give him that. I think they would divvy it up. But say you gave him a $50 million signing bonus. Only $10 million of that counts against the cap in the first year over a five-year proration, right? So you'd spread it out like an accordion. So if you're willing to give out a ton of guaranteed money now, you can actually duck under the salary cap and count on the salary cap to rise in the future. And we've seen the 49ers do this with every single one of their big deals since they re-signed George Kittle. They've backloaded these deals by giving out really big signing bonuses. So that could be another tool that they use to satisfy the many different demands that are coming from different angles in this Brandon Ayuk negotiation.
David, this is just for fun, because you said already you can't make 2025 decisions in 2024, and you're right. But if Brock Purdy were negotiating an extension right now, what do you think he'd get?
Ooh, that's a really interesting one. I'll start with this. If he delivers the same type of year that he delivered this year, he should be one of the top three paid quarterbacks in football next year. He'll be over $50 million. If he's an MVP finalist 2 years in a row, no question. The problem right now is still, when we're talking about that kind of money, there's still a sample size problem right now. So if he negotiated something right now, you could do something incentive-based that before the incentives would be worth probably $35 to $40 million a year. And but could be expandable to $50 million a year, because you still need that. I think you really do need one more season of the type of play that we saw to consider him a top three money guy. And that's why there's so much pressure here on everybody in 2024.
So at the end of next year, if he has another fantastic year and he's in the same spot as Brandon Ayuk, ready for an extension, does he then have more leverage than Ayuk just because he would be an elite quarterback and just a plain quarterback?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, the quarterback, you could say it's the most important position in all of sports. I think Jed York himself said that at the owners' meeting. So you could live without Brandon Ayuk. You couldn't live without Brock Purdy if you were the 49ers moving forward. Now, it's not just a matter of living and surviving. This is a team trying to win a Super Bowl, so that gives Brandon Ayuk a sense of leverage here as well. But when you look forward to the Brock Purdy negotiations, I mean, those are going to be monstrous, and that's why the 49ers, assuming that he continues playing as well as he has, that's why they have to make sure they carve out as much room as possible moving into 2025.
Yeah, David Lombardi, The Athletic, just to put a bow on the Ayuk thing, because of what you just said, the 49ers are trying to win a Super Bowl this year. Do you see any way, shape, or form that the 49ers could trade Ayuk on Thursday and still be as good of a team in September?
Somebody would have to be desperate. You would have to get that inflection point, the deadline pressure to encourage a team to send something to the 49ers to where they could get an immediate impact player with that pick.
Yep.
That would bolster their offensive line right away. I think that's because when I look at this team, I see like one real statistical weakness, and it was the pass protection. Namely on the right side. So you would have to, I think, bolster the right tackle spot very specifically. But nothing would be guaranteed. I mean, even if they were able to somehow trade up into the top half of the first round, I mean, to me, it's remarkable that in 2020, they were able to get a top half of the first round pick for DeForest Buckner. They obviously didn't spend it right. I mean, Javon Kinlaw, that never lived up to what they needed from that pick, but the value that they got for DeForest Buckner in that trade was to me remarkable, especially in retrospect now that we see what these players are going for. So say that they got something similar for Brandon Ayuk, and then they nailed the pick, and that guy turned into what Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs was a good example from 2020. In that case, they could theoretically be better, right? Because their pass protection, the biggest weakness, will have been improved.
Right, but who would play receiver next to Deebo Samuel?
Maybe you draft somebody, maybe you could add somebody. You probably lose a little bit at that receiver. You definitely lose something at that receiver spot because, like I said, Brandon Ayuk is an elite receiver, but you would hope that what you gained in pass protection would be greater than what you lost at that receiver spot.
David, great stuff, man. We're really looking forward to the weekend. I know we'll be talking to you again soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.